Welcome to Transject, Victims of the Gender Industry Speak Out. Erin Brewer and Maria Keffler of Advocates Protecting Children talk to people whose lives have been upended by gender ideology activism, including parents, teachers, detransitioners, and others who were exploited by unethical doctors, therapists, schools, and activists. Listen to their stories as they describe the damage being wrought on individuals, families, and society by the gender industry.
Well, today I'm here with Sydney Wright, and Sydney has a really important story to share. She started to medically transition as a minor and then realized it was a mistake and has been living with some really serious complications from taking the wrong sex hormones. So Sydney, why don't you tell us your story?
Yeah, of course. So when I was younger, and I was actually at the age of 18, and it was right at the breaking point, like it was legal and I could do what I needed to do for what I thought I needed to do at the time. And I went to therapy. I went to therapy for an hour once a week for 5 weeks. And they were able to provide me with a referral to a doctor. And they referred me to a doctor in Atlanta. And my first appointment there, he didn't even open the letter that they gave me. He basically just said, you know, you can go pick your hormones up today. And I asked him if he was going to give me my shot. And he kind of laughed in my face and said, well, if you want to drive all the way back to Rome, which was where I lived, which is about an hour and a half drive, and come back another hour and a half drive, then I'll give it to you. When he owned a pharmacy upstairs, he could have called it in, got it, and taught me how to give myself my shot. So that resulted in me giving myself my shot wrong for 8 months because he told me to go home, watch YouTube videos, and to figure it out. He was like, you basically cannot kill yourself.
So, that's disturbingly horrible medical advice.
Horrible. And the doctors, I mean, they're even questionable, but they're trying to move from patient to patient to patient so fast because the gender clinics are actually really booked up. Like, it's hard to get a spot. There's so many people in there every day. And I mean, even they even have like payment plans set up for people that do not have insurance. So you walk into the clinic and you can do it on a monthly basis, like you're a membership fee. So that's just sad because it's trying to give everybody access to it.
And so what happened when you started taking testosterone?
Immediately what happened was the weight gain. So the weight gain came real fast. I had gained about 50 pounds. My voice started to get much, much deeper than what it was originally. You start growing hair like the average male. And then towards the end is when I started having some real issues, resulting in a heart attack or a stroke. And at the end, I was actually had to go to the emergency room because they thought I had a blood clot in my lung. And I know several transgender males that that's happened to, and they've been life flighted down and had to get the clot removed. And it's just very scary. It's such a big deal, and they're making it not a big deal that makes it 10 times scarier.
Did the doctor give you any indication of these kind of serious side effects you might have?
No, I did. I did ask. I told him, he was like, do you have any questions? And I was like, well, I'm just kind of nervous. And all he had to say was, well, do you want to do it or not? And I was just like, well, I mean, yeah, I guess so. So, and like, they make you feel like it is, there's that you're, you feel a certain way inside. And, you know, many young people do, they feel like, you know, something's not right. Something's missing. You don't know what you're doing with your life yet. Things an average teenager that's grown up into adulthood would question. And then they make you feel like, oh man, that really describes the way I'm feeling. Well, if there's a medication to fix it, why would you not take the medication? That's how they present it. And so I was like, man, I would be stupid if this wouldn't fix the problem I'm having internally. So just proceed with it.
So when did you start feeling like you were trans-identified or feeling gender dysphoric or feeling like you wanted to transition?
It was right after I moved out on my own. And that I was gay and I didn't know how I was basically internalizing my homophobia, even turning it on myself. It was more of a like a self-hatred almost for being that way. So I felt that I couldn't be gay and I couldn't be a Christian. Well, my parents are already disappointed in me, and you look like a stereotypical dyke, and you don't want to. I mean, for me, I didn't want to be seen like that because my family had always, you know, that was frowned upon. It was looked down upon when we saw that. And so I was like, man, I know how people view that. I don't want to be seen like that. But then I saw people advertising transgender on Instagram, and I was like, well, they can walk around. They can hold hands with their girlfriends. Nobody knows that they're actually women. I was like, I wish I could be seen like that instead of how I am now, because nobody would know. So it just kept going in my head, and I was like, well, maybe that's what's wrong with me. Maybe I was born in the wrong body, like they say, because I like girls, because I'm tomboyish.
Did your therapist ever address that? Because it seems like your therapist might have been able to address that and prevent you from having gone through this horrible medical treatment if they had just sort of tried to uncover some of these issues.
Right, and there were many red flags that I threw up looking back now that I was like, man, if I was a therapist, I would have stopped there and been like, hey, maybe I shouldn't give you this letter. Maybe we should dive into this deeper, because this is a decision that's going to affect the rest of your life. And I mean, I did. I threw up several red flags, and there's laws in place that prohibit from them talking about anything opposing what you're doing. So the conversion therapy is now banned. So if you are talking about an LGBT community issue, about you being in it, they legally cannot oppose it for you. So they cannot tell you, hey, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think we should do that. They can't. So, I mean, that's really no help, because the LGBT community seems to be making it to where nobody can oppose them and people can't have their own feelings. Basically, we need to change our feelings to match theirs just to make them okay.
So I know in Utah, the therapists have to affirm a child. So I'm not sure what the laws are in different states, but it's so disturbing to me, because I know that the therapy that I got as a child helped me to resolve those feelings of being transgender, and the fact that now these children who have transgender identities are unable to get that help. And then in your case, where it was motivated to a large extent by internalized homophobia, it seems like they're converting lesbians and gays into transgender.
Right. And there's a lot going on with that, really. I'm not sure if you know about the Iran situation, to where they are making the women that are dating women turn into transgender men, because it's either that or prison. They're either making them have a sex change or go to prison. Same for males. They don't want gay people. They say, oh no, there's been a mistake, let's fix it. And I feel like there's definitely a motivator behind it. I think Big Pharma has a big hand to play in this, as well as politics. So I think there's a lot more coming from it, really, than the LGBT community. Everybody is just afraid of that community, so they try not to backlash, just because they have so much money, they have so many people behind them. There is a huge community, just like that woman that was there from the Human Rights Campaign at our speaking, you know, so.
And they are bullies. I've just been shocked by how willing they are to just completely bully women like us.
Right.
And these are, generally speaking, tall, physically large males who are saying that they're women, and then using that kind of that cover in order to bully biological females like us who are saying that we don't agree with what they're saying.
Right. And as me and somebody else was talking the other day, we were talking about the issues, and they said something to me. They were like, the men are trying to be women, that way the girls that are lesbians can basically say, hey, you know, he's saying, well, hey, well, I'm a lesbian. Why can't you date me? Are you homophobic? Well, I just don't like, you know, I don't like that. And they're like, well, that don't matter. I'm a woman, you know, and they try to process that more and more. And it's just, it is becoming a very out of hand thing in this world.
I've heard so many lesbians say that they've been called transphobic because they're not willing to have sex with a biological male who claims to believe he feels like a female. And to me, that is just horrible bullying. And it's also eroding the idea of consent because it's saying, unless you have sex with us, you're transphobic. That's an incredibly bullying message.
Right. I was called transphobic last night on Facebook. Somebody had commented on that there was a post I shared about the UK was making it to where your sex at birth was your gender, or Hungary. But they were telling me, well, don't you think the government is overstepping into that? And I was like, how would they be overstepping? This is your medical documentation. This is legality. Some citizens don't typically have a role in just because they're not as educated as them. And they went on to tell me, you know, several things. But I mean, it comes down to, you can never transition fully. You can never, your chromosomes will never change. You are what you are, and you just have to learn to be happy and live like that.
And in your case, the testosterone had serious side effects. Can you talk a little bit about, you said that you gained weight and you had a blood clot. So is that what motivated you to detransition, or was there something else?
Right. Well, my grandfather played a big role in it. He was kind of my, like, he was my get out of jail free card. He basically was like, you know, please, you know, can you please stop? And he never asked me for anything. And he always sits down and talks to me. So that was my wake up call that, hey, you know, I know you were going to do this till it killed you just because you didn't want to admit you were wrong. But, you know, if somebody's asking you to do it and they care a lot about you, you need to do it. So I did it. And then after about 3 weeks of not taking the testosterone, that's when things got like deathly sick. That's when I was going in and out of the ER every other week, and I had to have procedures done just to make sure my stomach was okay. And it was just a downhill slope from there of nothing but sickness. And I didn't think I was going to make it, man. I thought I was either going to kill myself from the pain because I thought it would never go away, and one day it did. They got me on a lot of medications, and it has helped me a lot. And it's just gotten much, much better over time. But I didn't know what I was going to do for a little bit.
So do you have any long-term side effects from it, or is it sort of like you stopped taking it, you had these complications, but now you're better, or do you still suffer from complications?
I do suffer from complications, but it's mainly because I have to take medications every day to try to prohibit things from like flaring up and getting bad again, because they can in a heartbeat for me. I mean, I can be sick as a dog and not know what's wrong with me because of taking it. My voice will never get higher. And I mean, it's just an ongoing thing. I mean, I can't control my weight gain. Probably have to shave 20 times more than a regular average woman that didn't take the medication, just because my leg hair, there's just things that are just really inconvenient that you didn't have to deal with if you just would have, you know, remained. And it just threw me off. It really upsets me, just because I do not look the way how I used to look before I took the medication. And now I've gained much weight. It's caused just me to look different, and it's a regret I live with every day.
See, and I'm thinking you did this when you were 18. There are children as young as 8 years old now who are being put on puberty blockers, and in some cases even cross-sex hormones. I'm just wondering how you feel about children having access to these kinds of treatments with based on your experience?
Right. So based on everything, and especially what we saw at the House Committee and the Senate Committee, it was so devastating to see that 9-year-olds and, you know, 13-year-olds were on these, because I feel like I could barely live with a decision that I made at 18. When you think that you're grown, when you are legally an adult, I could not imagine living with a decision I made at 9 years old. I mean, think about it. If you made a life-altering decision at 9, where would we be? I mean, we would have no idea. And people are letting them do it because it is signing them up for a lifetime commitment in the healthcare field. They are a guaranteed bill. And when I did the South Dakota House Committee hearing, we had, I think it was 12 to 20 protests because it was cutting money out of their pay.
And I'm also thinking that when I hear trans activists fighting against this, they usually get a child who says that they're going to kill themselves if they don't have access to these medications. And it just drives me crazy because I can't think of any other case where a child says, I'm going to kill myself, and we immediately give them drugs. And you made an observation that I thought was really important. And can you talk about what your letter said from your therapist that basically said you were ready to start testosterone, and why that would preclude someone who is suicidal?
Right. So basically they ask you a ton of questions, and they even do this in the hospital, even if you're there for like a checkup or going to the emergency room. If you are suicidal at all or have ideas about it, you're to not be on any medication at all. You're actually locked up for about a month, and you have to go down to Atlanta here. That's for here. And you're not allowed to make any big decisions in your life because you're mentally not stable enough to make the decision. And people and children using this, and I mean, doctors are telling them, therapists are telling them to use this to be able to get the hormones, because they're doing it on Instagram and Facebook to get the hormones. And that is not a valid reason. That literally the doctors and nurses and the therapists should know better. And they do. They do it with every other patient but these.
So can you tell me a little bit, it sounds to me like you've started a nonprofit. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. So I've started a little bit of a nonprofit. We are still trying to get legalized, but I have about 30 members, I would say. We basically, it's a support group for people that are detransitioning. A lot of people come to us for basic advice. They want to know, you know, some of them are suicidal. They don't think they could live like this any longer. And basically, you know, you got to talk them off the edge. They're trying to deal with something that they made at such a young decision. And they're trying to with this first. And, you know, you got to help them through. You got to walk them through it, because this is not something like, this isn't like, you know, drug addiction. This isn't like alcohol abuse. This is something that you can't recover from. It's something you got to live with every day. So the nonprofit really is just a basic support group, trying to get parents help as well, because they also need somebody to talk to. I talk to a lot of parents that are going through it, and you just try to make them feel better, try to give advice on the best way to talk to their kids, because a lot of parents don't want to lose their relationship with their kids, but they hate what they're doing. So it is just basically that, and helping a lot of people. And I'm really excited about it because it actually has turned out a lot more people have joined and have talked about it than I would have thought. So it's going really good right now.
Well, and I think that that's so important because, you know, I've gotten attacked just for speaking about my story. A lot of people who come out publicly as detransitioners, they get called transphobic. They get called all kinds of names. And so I think that there are kids out there who may be grappling with these issues, but they're afraid to come out and say, I made a mistake. Because first of all, they got so much support to transition, but then they have to say, oh, I was wrong. And that's always hard, especially for teenagers. But in any situation where you're surrounded with a support that says you made the right decision, to come out and say, oh, I think I might've made the wrong decision, is really difficult, especially when saying that you made the wrong decision might set you up for being bullied. So I think that organization you're doing is so important.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it. And I really do enjoy the people that we have in there and listening to their stories and being a part of their everyday life. So it has been really good and eye-opening for me too, because, you know, you meet all kinds of people and you hear all the different stories that they go through.
Just out of curiosity, if you feel comfortable sharing this, when I've talked to detransitioners, there's a common thread of abuse, a lot of times sexual abuse, that kind of prompts becoming transgender as a coping mechanism, other kinds of traumas, autism, being on the autism spectrum, and that internalized homophobia that you talked about. Do you see other issues, or are those primarily the issues that you see that cause people to adopt a trans identity?
A lot of the people that I do talk to have a lot of those issues. They have underlying mental health problems just due to things that could have happened in their childhood, like you said, or the sexual abuse is a huge role that's being played in it right now. I do keep a little bit of a record, not of people specifically, but the groups that they fall into. That way I know, try to figure out what is causing it, you know, what is going on in the minds of these people like myself, you know, that made us want to do this. And so I do see that as a big factor, and that has played a role in almost every single one of the people that we help.
So as we're finishing up here, is there anything that you haven't had a chance to talk about?
And I can't think of anything, honestly. We've pretty much covered everything, I know.
And I just feel, I'm so grateful that you're coming out and speaking publicly about your experiences, because I think that there are so many people who don't realize that there are people who are adopting this trans identity for all sorts of reasons, and that they can't get the kind of help they need at the therapist that they need because of these therapy bans. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I first heard about the conversion therapy ban, my first impression was, that's great. We don't want people who are gay or lesbian to be converted or to be tortured or to be electrocuted or, you know, to be, you know, pray away the gay, whatever. But then when I realized that the therapy bans were actually banning help for people like you and me, I was just shocked, because the implications of not understanding the underlying cause of trans identity are so profound. And in your case, you're going to have lifelong consequences as a result of it, rather than having therapy, which could have helped you resolve these issues and not gone through this medical transition.
Right. I know it is. It's terrifying. And I felt the same way, because I am a lesbian myself. But we've grown so into it that we don't even like to say that we're part of the community anymore because of the way they act. And it's crazy. And I can't believe that they did the conversion therapy ban. And I wished it was still in effect just for the transgender reasons. I don't believe that lesbians or gays should be talked out of it. But as far as it goes for the trans people, I do believe they do need some extra help.
Well, thank you so much, Sydney. I appreciate you being with me today.
Of course, yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on.